B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
You know, stands up a little bit and they call a false start. All because Mac Collins didn't know where the hell he was supposed to be.
He's
then
worse
he gets another penalty
worthless.
Later. He gets another push in the back later on a screen.
It was a soft call, but it was a penalty.
Soft call, but whatever. You're not supposed to put your hands out.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the one thing that aggravated, the last thing, they're on a punt one time, and I see him at the bottom of the screen. I said, oh, let me see what he does on a punt. He beats his man like nobody's business down the field. He put on one real nice move, and boom, he's gone. Isn't that what you do at the wide receiver position also?
You would think.
Yeah. Bob, let the Mac Hollins hate run through you. It's good. That's good.
No, I'm not kidding. I would cut him today.
Oh, he should have been cut after the Green Bay game.
Yeah, Mac Hollins, if you're looking to do something, that's it today.
Mac Hollins, Corey Unlin, Carson Walsh, maybe even Mike Groh.
Bye.
That's the, like you, I've made this point all morning long, but I just tell you, listen, 97.5 The Fanatic, WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. Here's the thing. You can't continue to tell your fan base that this is okay.
No.
You went through the trade deadline. Jannard Avery. Cool. Where was Ramsey? Where was Jadeveon Clowney? Where was Minkah Fitzpatrick? Where was Emmanuel Sanders? Although, we're fine. Like, Howie Roseman himself adopted the we all we need mentality. Yeah. You have to do something today that allows your fan base to know that you give a damn how bad your football team is. Because right now, you don't see it.
They're around 12th in the draft right now.
That was the other thing. I saw people just saying tank. Like I'm never going to champion tanking, especially in football.
I always want Carson Wentz to get that playoff game experience, yada, yada, yada. But there's no point.
The playoffs. just not even going to go there.
White Snake struggles.
He sucks.
Making plays.
He sucks.
On one of the plays yesterday, the announcer said, oh, nothing would have been there. I mean, Nate Gary was right there anyway. He would have made the tackle. And I was like, have you watched the Eagles this year?
You do one shoulder juke on him, and he's gone.
You had the running back catch a ball out in the flats, and you have Whitesnake on the sideline. All he has to do is stay on the inside, and once the guy gets there, you hit and knock him out of bounds.
Right.
No, not the Whitesnake.
Nah.
Whitesnake wants to get in front of him and slither.
We always...
And he's
Shook White Snake,
and there you go.
You want a little lemon juice in the wound?
Oh, but please.
So after the trick play touchdown, I retweeted it. I'll retweet it from the station account. Dolphins offensive lineman Christian Wilkins was pointing and laughing at the Eagles team after they scored that trick play. Literally going, ha-ha, and pointing in their faces and laughing at them.
What was he saying again?
That's Nelson. Nelson from Simpsons.
Nelson? Three straight trick plays.
Yes, you're right.
Sorry. Back to back.
Yep.
You're getting touchdowns. Mocked and laughed at by a Dolphins offensive lineman in your face. And guess what? I'm not one to say, like, you should fight him. You should have a little pride, and somebody should have gotten in his face. You know what they did? They just watched him.
And then they got beat the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Like, there was nobody that responded to that.
There's no fight in this team.
I'm telling you, man, and that was right after Fitzpatrick tried to run over Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, I heard you say that at 5 o'clock. That's interesting.
Yeah, that was right after Fitzpatrick tried to run over Malcolm Jenkins in the end zone. And you could just tell, like, his energy level rose, his team energy's level rose, and we didn't match it.
You called that the turning point of the game for you, right?
I think so.
So what happens now? What happens with this team now? Because, look, cuts, firings, whatever, you need to do something as a team, as a front office, to let everyone know all this is not forgiven. People are pointing and laughing at you. You're losing to the worst team in the NFL. Not just losing to them. You get carved up by a journeyman quarterback, who we all know, Ryan Fitzpatrick and all that. A team that would rather lose, by the way. You get carved up by that offense. And your defense, their defense has no problem stopping you in your game plan, whatever the game plan was, especially in that second half. That's bad. I know you can look at drops and all that, and I don't know how much Carson Walsh has to do with Zach Ertz or anyone dropping passes here, but you got to make some kind of move to let everyone know this is not okay. And forget about what it means from a PR standpoint. What does it mean in that locker room?
Mm-hmm.
To send a message to these guys that this will not be accepted. Look, people are losing jobs over here. What does it mean for the front office to invest the money they've invested in their offensive line and say, oh, yeah, you know what? We're not even going to run the ball. We're going to totally get away from that in the second half. When that was working, and you get away from it. Oh, and you had a 2-touchdown lead. You're not going to preserve that lead even a little bit? Where's the guy that's going to step up and make this play? because nobody was willing to do that for this team yesterday. So I got to look at the coach and say, you did not have your team ready to play in this game. Now, for the people that I'll fire Doug, and I know some people are saying that, not happening. I'm trying to give a realistic take on what could happen today with the Eagles. And I legit think they're smart enough to realize they can't go on like this for the rest of the season. If they really want to make some kind of push, they can't do it with what they have right now. They can't just ride out what they have for the rest of the season. If the same problems have been reoccurring throughout the year, you have to make some kind of problems. Make some kind of adjustment to correct that problem. It is the definition of insanity right now for the Eagles, where they have not made any adjustment. The same thing keeps on happening. They keep on getting away from the run. The coach can't correct the problem, and they just want to stand pat and look at it and go, eh, we're fine. It's that emoji that goes, that gif that goes around. The dog sitting in the room, yeah. It's on fire. This is fine. You can't have this team exactly this way going forward. There needs to be cuts. There needs to be adjustments to the game plan. There needs to be firing. Something to let the fan base, let the locker room know that this is not okay. Because throughout the entire season, we've been told, we're fine. This is fine. We're all we got. We're all we need. Now you need a lot more.
Why? Are we going with Jay Ajayi and not having Boston Scott be your guy?
I have no clue.
You know what I'm saying?
Jay Ajayi's not an NFL player anymore.
Yeah, he's a shadow of what he used to be. He's not the same. He doesn't have the same burst. He doesn't have the agility. I mean, his knees are just gone. And I mean, you know, Father Time is undefeated. I mean, he has the injuries that are there. I don't understand why you aren't going with Boston Scott over Jay Ajayi. You know, you're going to have to let go of some of that old feeling that you have for certain players, that love that you have for certain players, and just start going with some decisions that just, some of those harder decisions that just have to be made that's going to make this team better.
The Flyers were mired in it for 40 years,
yeah, right.
Going back to Stanley Cup teams in the mid-70s. Let's hope that the Eagles aren't mired in that 2017 team, that you're going to keep doing that. Alshon Jeffrey, I'm sorry, he looks really old. Well, he looked decent yesterday, but he's only going to get older.
That's
another
thing.
Jay Ajayi, the retreads from the Super Bowl might not, especially at the skill position, might not be what you're looking for.
But that's another thing, Bob. You talk about Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey played yesterday, and Nelson Agholor played well. I mean, he had a nice play that was negated, I think, by the Jason Peters false start. I think that was the first one. Then he had another play. I think that was negated by Matt Collins blocking the back.
He made a catch in traffic. I literally punched Anthony next to me, and I was like, did you just see that? Agholor made a catch in traffic.
Slant route, trips left.
Over the shoulder.
Yeah.
And one of those,
for
too.
The two-point conversion.
I think it was the best game the wide receivers have played in a little while.
One of the stars of the game for me yesterday, Nelson Agholor. And I'm not even kidding.
Like, listen to what we're saying. Nelson Agholor, 3 for 41.
Never doubted him for a minute. Yeah,
we're
the catches negated.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah. And then I went back. I was like, man, JP went out there and played another full game. But then Dillard came in for a 2-point conversion.
Needed a blow. Needed a break. Alejandro West Philly says he's a little sick today. What's up, Alejandro?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
All right.
Today I'm done. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. This was embarrassing. I'm done for the season. I'm not watching no more games. I'm not calling in the radio. This was a pathetic showing by the Eagles. And I seen the laughing going on, and that got me burning up. Why wasn't a timeout called on that trick play?
No idea.
Can somebody please tell me?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to let you hear from Doug Peterson in this next segment. His post-game press conference, he said two things. One was about that play, and the other was about the quality of play from the Miami Dolphins. But we're with you. I don't know why he didn't call a timeout there. They look befuddled on that play. Mm-hmm. But as a guy who has been a Mac Collins hater, I guess, I don't know if I'll say this, realist for the entire season, you now have more touchdown receptions, or as many touchdown receptions in their careers from that place kicker and Mac Collins. How's that make you feel?
Yeah. Mark, if I'm Jeff Lloyd, I'm not paying these guys. I go to their room and say, look, you guys owe me money. Mm. That was a disgrace. As an Eagles fan, I'm done for this year. I'm not watching any more games. I'm not hearing the radio. If these guys are listening to this radio right now, I'm done with them. These guys the other team play their heart out. And we showing off with no heart, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Alejandro, you hang in there, my friend, and please, I know something's going to rub you the wrong way. You'll call again. I know you will. We got to have you, buddy. But in all honesty, when it comes to this team, there is nobody that has lit a fire under them. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things I saw that really irked me was when Jalen Mills was walking off the field after the first touchdown he allowed, with Parker in the corner of the end zone, McCloud's right. drifting over that made it 28-20. He not only was pointing at the ref saying, hey, what's going on? You know, where's the call? That kind of thing. Was he, when he walked off the field, it was like he was yelling at somebody else.
Yeah, he was yelling into the stands. It seems like he was yelling into the stands or something like that.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Dude, play the game.
Yeah. You're too worried about all the outside stuff. Focus on what's right there in front of you.
For a guy that, like, when we say, what's the one constant we say about Jalen Mills?
He's good inside the 20.
That, and the guy actually competes. Like, yeah. he, right. Yesterday, I didn't see that. I saw a guy that wasn't competing. I saw a guy that wanted to just have the ref bail him out of calls. And by the way, I don't think that was pass interference. The first play.
The one that he got caught on?
His, around the neck and holding the arm?
Yeah, it was.
No, uncatchable. So. Well, uncatchable. That was Parker, right?
Well, he was on him too quick for it to be on, you know.
Yeah, he ran past where the ball was thrown.
Oh, he was draped all over.
It was a bad throw. He was falling into him. If I was Jalen Mills, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
And you would have got caught for it.
Yeah. Probably. Probably. Not wrong. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up in a minute. As promised, we'll let you hear from Doug Peterson. But before that, the Eagles yesterday, Trey, they lost a bad game. They lost a tough game, right?
Yes, they did.
Eagles fans? Still very much undefeated. What one Eagle fan did after the game yesterday just makes me love Eagle fans even more. We'll let you hear that coming up in a few. 610-632-0975. Got some open lines for you if you want to jump in here. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net. Set up your free benefits analysis today. Time of the Fanatic is 7:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. So Doug Peterson, a lot of people are asking, why not call a timeout right before that trick play? And I certainly would have called a timeout. I was
freaking out in the stands.
I was yelling at my TV, you know, my comfortable sofa, you know, that kind of thing. And I was very upset.
Does he think you get points if you don't use all of them?
I don't know. But that's definitely one out of the Andy Reid playbook, if you know what I'm saying. But yesterday, Doug did not call the timeout, so he was asked yesterday, hey, do you think about calling a timeout before that play? Here's Doug.
No, I mean, that's something we knew that coming in here, that this is one of the more sort of gadget play special teams, you know, coordinators and teams that we have faced. And our guys were prepared during the week for anything that, you know, they presented us. Again, just, you know, great execution on their part.
I would have been happier if Doug would have said after the game.
What? You left somebody wide open in the end zone.
I would have been happier if Doug just said, I was tying my shoes and I didn't see it. What happened?
what was that answer?
So you expected this. You kind of knew that was happening and you played it like that? That's atrocious.
No, they didn't.
Absolutely atrocious.
That wasn't practice.
Okay. Well, Doug just said it was.
He didn't say it was practice. He said that they were prepared.
Were they?
No, they weren't.
They knew that they were going to have a guy was going to have some gadget plays, but it wasn't necessarily something that they actually went through and said, okay, this is what you guys are going to have on this.
Okay, with that in mind, Jamie, one more time. Let's hear this one more time, because you just maybe I feel better now. Go ahead. Let's hear him again.
No, I mean, that's something we knew that coming in here, that this is one of the more sort of gadget play special teams, you know, coordinators and teams that we have faced, and our guys were prepared during the week for anything that you know, they presented us. Again, just you know, great execution on their part.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. No, still not, don't feel any better.
Wow.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, but this is, and now think, now how many times have you seen a formation like that on the professional level?
One other time.
By who?
It was by Chip Kelly against Andy Reid when he came back with Kansas City.
Exactly.
And it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work.
And it was a swing pass, I think,
Thursday
from Jason Kelly.
Yeah.
Was it Jason? who threw the ball. I forget who threw it, but it might have been, I forget who it was. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter, but that's the last time I saw
I remember
it.
Coach Kelly, because I was sitting out there talking to Jason Vine about this. We were sitting at the sportsbook watching the game, and I was like, man, I haven't seen anything like that in a while. And Jason Vine was like, yeah, Coach Kelly was the one that used to do that formation all the time. And so there you go.
Yeah.
Doug told on himself.
Yeah, that wasn't something.
Like, okay, I understand. Like, they might not have practiced that, but as soon as they go into that formation, and you know that they tend to do special teams trickery, call a timeout.
Timeout.
Yeah,
get away from it. There was two things I was waiting on. Sometimes you see teams put a formation out there like that, but then they'll go back into a normal formation.
Yeah, if you cover it
right. So I'm waiting on that, and then it doesn't happen. So I'm like, all right, timeout. And I literally was getting up from my chair, probably to pour a beer or something, thinking there's going to be a timeout here. And I'm watching. What? And then for Josh Sweat to let a 150-pound guy just go, why wouldn't you just shove the guy to the ground?
All right. Let me see if this.
Seriously, he should have just cleaned his lawn.
Let me see if this makes you feel better. Because
if it's Doug, it won't.
I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Miami Dolphins were 2-9 going into yesterday's game. Now, that's a stat, that's a record, whatever, but forget about it, because the Dolphins, according to Doug Peterson, Trey, they're a good football team. Take a listen.
That's a good football team. I'll tell you, it's a good football team. Record does not indicate anything about them at all. They're well coached. It's a disciplined group. They play hard. You see that on film, you know, and even some of the games that, you know, obviously their record, again, doesn't show that, but these guys battle for 60 minutes, and we knew that coming down here.
The Dolphins are a good football team. He didn't say it once. He said it twice just in that clip. I believe he said it four times total during the press conference that the Dolphins, the 2-9 Miami Dolphins that have traded away players, changed the quarterback, and are more in rebuild mode than anybody, they're a good football team. That means that your football team, Doug, sucks. Sucks big time. If the Miami Dolphins are a good football team. They're not what the record says they are. Well, are you trying to, you know, cushion the blow to your own team that now we know sucks? Is that what we're doing here?
Absolutely.
Why can't more people, like, look, he didn't have a good game, Malcolm Jenkins, but at least at the locker room, he called a spade a spade. This is Malcolm Jenkins in the locker room talking about his football team.
We don't want to be Captain Obvious. We didn't play well. We know that. There's no need to beat a dead horse. Figure out what it is. Watch the tape like you would any other day. Go back to work.
Thank you. Thank you. At least he's honest.
Yeah.
Like, he said what we all saw. Don't tell us what we're not seeing. Like, don't tell us we're looking at something. Basically, don't pee on my shoes and tell me it's raining, right? That's what Doug Peterson did after that game. He didn't make you feel any better. He made you question him even further, especially with his logic of not calling a timeout before that trick play. Like, look, you never know how a game's going to go. From how this game went, overall, looking back on it, yeah, you weren't stopping the Dolphins. You weren't stopping Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was throwing carelessly. He threw into double coverage. He threw blinded, and he was fine. No worries, no cares in the world, because he knew this defense wasn't going to make a play. And then offensively, when you're up by two touchdowns, you totally get away from the run. Like, this team was just from head to toe terrible, and they lost to a team that I think if they play this team 10 more times, they beat them maybe 9. But they lost this game yesterday because they played so terrible. They were an awful team yesterday. They've been an awful team this season. No excuses. Something has to happen today to let everybody else know, not just the fan base, but more importantly, the people in that locker room, know that what we saw yesterday is not okay. But they're just going to skate by. Now everything's fine. No big deal. Nothing to see here. It's awful. It's embarrassing. Now this is the best part about the day after a loss. If they win, people aren't waiting an hour to talk to us.
No.
My man Kevin in Newcastle County, sorry to make you wait, buddy, but you are on with us. What's on your mind?
Hey, look, man, all of y'all touched on it, man. Just common sense. Running the ball. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's two quarterbacks in the NFL that reincarnate themselves and imitate Joe Montana when they play against us. And it doesn't matter what team they play for. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Kurt Stinkin' Cousins. It doesn't make any sense. You're up 28-14. Run the ball. Run the ball. Period. I mean, I just don't understand it. And then a former player, Eagles player, that played on that, you know, the team that we lost to the New England Patriots, our center, he mentioned that maybe they got gas in the second half because of the humidity or whatever. I don't know. But I do know one thing. The D played well against the Patriots. They played well against Seattle. and we stink up the joint against Ryan Fitzpatrick. He lit us up for damn near 400 yards when he played with the Bucks. I mean, when we played with the Jets. It doesn't matter who this guy plays for. Buffalo, he lights us up. And there's no changes or anything made, man.
No, he beats this secondary like a drum. Every cliche you want to throw out there, it comes to fruition with Ryan Fitzpatrick for whatever reason. He just throws with no care. I mean, he just has the confidence of a Joe Montana, of a Tom Brady against the secondary for whatever reason. But the Eagles make no adjustment to him. And whatever they try to do, whether it's trying to blitz him, whatever, I will give Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, credit for a guy that just was throwing carelessly yesterday. But he also got rid of the football on more than one occasion, what should have been devastating sacks.
Mm-hmm.
He got rid of the football.
Yeah.
Our quarterback, not so much.
Yeah. Imagine that.
I mean, he trusted his players to go make a play. So it wasn't like he was just, hey, blindly throwing. I think he just was like, hey, man, I trust you to go make a play. Mm. Go make a play for me. And when you play like that, I think that helps. It makes your players elevate. When they're like, you know what, he is expecting me to go out there and make a play. He trusts me to go out there and do it. Well, I'm going to go and do it. And that's exactly what those guys did.
By the way, and Bob, you talked about this at the break. Malcolm Jenkins was asked. He was all full of quotes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked about whether or not that humidity, climate, whatever it might have been, had any effect on that defense. And he was basically, bleep that, man. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, Trey, you can speak to this having played your college ball down there and many games in the NFL down there. I mean, is that a shock to a team in November, December to go down to 80 degrees and play?
No.
I would think that's ideal.
No, it's not.
The weather was perfect.
We've played in much worse. Like, you know, when we played down in Tampa that one time, and it was like 100 and something degrees. You know, we played in Dallas,
yeah.
One time where it was so hot that the shoes were busting. I mean, you know, that's an excuse.
What is this team going to do today to let everybody know this isn't all right? Are they just gonna go and play what the Giants next and go? Yeah, everything's fine.
Well, realistically, what can you do?
Did you see the line on that?
You could fire someone or cut someone.
The Eagles are 8.5-point favorites somehow.
By the way,
I started laughing when I saw that.
8:50. We're going to talk to betting expert Brad Feinberg from NBC Sports Philadelphia. He's going to be on with us to talk about this devastating loss and what it meant in the gambling perspective and all that stuff. And then also, there's a little betcast going on tonight with the Sixers game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, me, Anthony, and Brad Feinberg will be on NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus opposite the Sixers game tonight.
Doug did do a solid for the bettors yesterday.
What's that?
The first half line was 6.5.
Oh, hey, thanks, Doug.
So going for two there before the half. Covered some people's first half lines.
Thanks, yeah. Dougie.
Yeah,
I did not touch the spread on this.
I regretfully did.
Yeah, I know. 10 points, nah.
I hadn't bet the Eagles for weeks, and I thought this was the one that was going to be different.
The only bet I took was Whiteside.
That was a nice one.
Yep.
The only regret I had was thinking that the Eagles would ever have a shoe-in win for the rest of the season.
I tried to tell everybody, Whiteside plus 800.
Let's get Quaz up here. Quaz, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
What's up, y'all? Just for the record, I did take Miami in the points. I'm not surprised.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not surprised. I mean, geez, I mean, we've seen it coming for weeks now. I mean, it is sort of like Pistons. Like, either the offense is rolling and the defense isn't, or the defense is rolling and the offense isn't. I mean, I didn't think that defense could stay up. And unfortunately, I mean, it is what it is. You know, any given week, you know, there are NFL players out there. But if somebody asked the question, what did Miami see? They see what I've been seeing for the last 2 years. I mean, our linebackers cannot cover in space. They absolutely cannot. The one drive that Jasicki caught that touchdown, if you look at that whole drive, it's like 8 plays. He didn't throw anywhere outside the hash. That's your linebackers and your safeties. They went right down the field, and nobody came close to any balls. And, I mean, how we got some work to do in the draft, but before even the draft, you talk about who should be fired. I mean, it's too late to fire anybody.
No, it's not.
But 3 weeks ago, I would have fired Nelson. I mean, if you still want to do that, I'm still on board with that.
You mean cut Nelson Aguilar?
I would have cut him.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You're fine with
cutting Aguilar?
Yeah, eat it up.
You just said he had a great game yesterday.
Yeah, good for him. I would have cut him. I would have given him the opportunity to have a great game.
But the names that I will start with how we need to be doing right now is looking at my guy that I thought – before they hired Doug Peterson, there was one guy that I really wanted. They didn't even give him a call. I'm hoping this time around, them needing a seasoned offensive coordinator. He lives in the state. They need to call Todd Haley. They need to call Ty Haley. He will run. Yes, he ran.
He doesn't play well with others. Though.
I would love to see Todd Haley on the sideline.
I like that about him. Yeah. I don't want him to play nice well. I want somebody who will snarl a little bit and somebody who can actually call offensive plays, and maybe Doug can slip into just coaching the team. He's not a coach who's ready to develop other coaches. He's still new himself. And they probably should give Seth Joyner a call to replace that linebacker coach. And, yes, I will call Trey Thomas. I'm tired of Scotland. I'll get into it later. But I would like to hear that they call Trey back, even though I know everything that happened with
Trey. Trey has a job, Quas.
Yes, thanks very much, Quas. Yes. Appreciate you.
Don't you take him from us.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, really.
He's in that seat.
By the way, I don't think Stoutland's going anywhere either. Brandon Brooks and Elaine Johnson signed those mega deals.
Yeah. I had nothing to do with it.
One of the first person that they were like, hey, shout out to.
Yeah, just his coach.
Yeah.
Hey, it has nothing to do with it.
Really?
Yeah. Just because they got paid doesn't mean that ice is the cake for Stoutland.
Really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You judge by your numbers.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
It's usually two guys that were coached up by Stoutland are getting extensions.
Brandon Brooks came from somewhere else.
I understand that. But he's been here for what, 4 years, 5 years now?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting you say that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's interesting.
You want a little fun fact?
Sure. Love fun facts.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is now...
Nope, not fun.
Now thrown a touchdown versus the Eagles.
Stop it, I hate you.
With seven different teams.
First player in history.
Seven different teams.
Seven touchdowns against the Eagles in his last two games.
Yeah.
So, hey, we're all having fun.
Yeah.
Did you see that Provorov goal? Man. That was good. He's good at the hockey stuff.
Great play.
He's great plays.
The new kid, Frosty, too. I like him.
Oh, he's
Heater?
Snowman.
Heater.
I like the Heater.
I thought we agreed to Mofro.
Mofro.
Was it Chira? Chira called us the lady.
Yeah, it was good.
The voice lady.
She was like
Mofro.
I like Mofro.
Mofro's pretty solid.
Yeah, that is. Good.
But in all seriousness, when it comes to the Eagles team, how is it that they don't call a timeout before that trick play and the touchdown and all that fun stuff? And then how was it that they got burned so bad on the Wildcat? I forgot that existed.
Yeah,
the Wildcat formation. I forgot about that for
a while. Brandon Graham looked like he had never played football before when that happened.
I couldn't believe it. He looked like a rookie.
Yeah.
He got burned on the outside of that play. And then it was just tight end down the middle. Gesicki, as Bobby pointed out earlier, that's how this team got beat time and time again. And then there was the big plays that were down the sidelines to their wide receivers, Devontae Parker most notably.
Oh, he was awesome.
But you saw the Miami Dolphins just in every facet of this game.
Way more prepared.
Out-coach and out-play the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
And it wasn't just, even close.
Yeah, not just prepared, like the halftime adjustments. They did things totally differently after half. They went to empty backfield. They used their tight ends. They got rid of the football, as Trey pointed out. And the Eagles stood there like, oh, wow, what are they doing? How do we stop this?
I don't know.
What did the Eagles do offensively that has been anything different than what they've done this year?
Nothing.
They never do.
Here's two things that I've seen different. In the last game against the Seahawks, I saw the Eagles start that little shovel pass to Greg Ward on that like jet sweep type of play.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then a tight end screen. I rarely see tight end screens. You saw one yesterday. Dallas Goedert had Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, and I believe even Jason Kelce in front of him. And Goedert ran in front of the blocks.
Yep.
Well, because the timing of the blocking is not how it should be on the screen. Their timing is off when they run screens.
Wait. Regardless of that, shouldn't Dallas Goedert stay behind his... He had three blockers out there. And he ran between them before they made blocks.
Because the timing isn't right.
That sounds... Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but
how do you mean it?
Okay, so when you're running a screen, you should think in your mind, 1001, 1002, go. All right? So whenever the ball is snapped, when you block 1001, 1002, go. And then now you have to say, all right, whoever my first guy is, you have kick out. My second guy, you have alley. My third guy, you're taking whatever. You look to see if anything is coming behind, and then you cut up and you take the inside lane, whatever. So you have to have landmarks. So if you're on the left hash, you want your widest guy to be on the outside number. Your second guy is going to be on the inside of those numbers. And then your third guy is going to be on the opposite hash. He's going to look back, and then he's going to cut up the on the opposite hash and create that lane that way. But for them, but it has to be 1,001, 1,002. Then you go. Sometimes you'll see 1,001 and the guy's gone, or it'll be 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and Kelsey's too late getting out. You know, so to me, it just looks like the timing is usually off when it comes to running their screens. Because you go back and you look at the screen that Miami ran, the timing was perfect on it. 1,001, 1,002, guy got out. He had blocking there, and they go out and they cut. You want to cut on screens so that you don't want to be out there trying to block standing up, because then now you're trying to tell the runner which way you want him to go. Just cut, and then you're done, and then let him do his thing.
All right. So Goddard can't make up for that by dragging his feet for a half a step?
No, the timing has to be there.
Oh, that's bad.
Because now your defensive players are going to be there. Now, if you get out there too early, you're bringing the party to you.
Uh-huh.
And also, too, you're not allowing those guys to rush. So if you take off too early, whoever was supposed to be rushing, then now they're like, here comes screen, and they're gone.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Who was the better coach team yesterday, Trey?
I don't even think it was close. Trey, go ahead. never mind. Let me hear what you said. Graph and Media, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, you lost to a team whose mascot has a blowhole.
Wow.
Who blows now, Dougie T? This is awful. Third week in a row, somebody runs a trick play on you, and you tell me you're prepared. You haven't been prepared for a trick play in 3 weeks, dude.
Yeah.
Also, on top of that, Dougie T, 207 plays. This is thanks to Ruben Frank. 207 plays over the past 3 weeks. 61 of them have been runs. That's less than a third of your total offense. That's terrible.
And you haven't been blown out either. You haven't been blown out. This isn't the type of thing where you can say, oh, well, it's messed up because you're behind. You want to throw the football. Exactly. No, it's been close games.
It's unreal. Like, and it's so unfortunate because here's the truth, right, Mark? I don't want to listen to post-game so I don't have to hear those clips of Dougie T talk so I don't hate him. But then, of course, since I love you guys, I listen to your show, I hear these clips, and now all I want to do is just punch Dougie T in the face. I'm not dumb. Yeah. You don't have to tell me you were prepared for a gadget team when obviously you weren't because a punter scored a touchdown. Like, come on, dude. Are you serious? And then you're up 14 points. You're up 2 scores. And you mean to tell me that the better option is to throw the football 72% of the time?
Yeah. Graf, we got a bit of a back action here, my friend.
See you guys.
All right, I think you borrowed Mike's phone.
I think you did borrow Mike's phone on this fine football Monday on The Fanatic, brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to keep you warm this season. It is unfortunate listening to all that stuff in the post game, Bob, but I just don't know where this team goes from here. I think they have to move on from somebody. They have to send some kind of message.
Yeah, and that's why I asked you before. I'm like, and I agree with you. Realistically, where can you go?
Not Schwartz, it's not Peterson.
Right. Okay.
Realistically, I think it maybe is a stretch to go Mike Groh. I think it's not a stretch to think Carson Walsh is the receivers coach or Corey Arnold their secondary coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Matt Collins lined up wrong again. See ya, Walsh.
Unbelievable. And it leads to a penalty because now the snap comes late and Jason Peters flinches.
And he pushed in the back.
He's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Collins, Carson Walsh.
For you.
The two of you together. See ya.
Like, that's... I know people want to say head coach, and they want to say...
Nah, it's just not realistic. Schwartz.
It's not realistic. Realistically, those are three names that you can move on from today.
Yeah, I don't know. With four games left.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to happen until the end of the year.
No, oh, God, I don't even want to say the word. I'm not even going to get into this argument. But if you're the Eagles, you still want to change things, right? You want to turn things around. If you're the Eagles.
The Redskins still have hope in this division. They're not eliminated yet.
As somebody tweeted me earlier, the Giants have the easiest schedule from here on out.
The Redskins with 3 wins still could win the division.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. As promised, coming up, I will let you hear why, yes, the Eagles may have lost yesterday, but Eagle fans are still undefeated. Time of the Fanatic is 7:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Happy holidays from 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, this is Kasper Przybylko, and on behalf of Philadelphia Union, we want to wish you a great holiday season and a very happy new year.
Hi, this is Erica Shear from the Philadelphia Union. I want to wish all the Fanatic listeners a happy holiday season and a great new year.
Season's greetings, and thanks for listening to the sports voice of the new Philadelphia. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh my goodness, no. Can't do it. Not Mariah Carey. You see, you can buy boxers with Mariah. Never mind. I'll tell you that story later.
What?
Apparently, you can buy boxers for the holiday season with Mariah Carey over the. On the box.
People?
Yeah, more or less.
That excites me.
Is she hitting a high note?
Oh, of course she is.
Okay.
It's Mariah Carey, man.
Gotcha.
She ain't going to sell you short unless it's New Year's Eve 2 years ago. Remember that?
Who hasn't?
Oh, no, it was a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I don't think they were prepared for. But the Eagles lost terribly yesterday. Here's why Eagle fans are undefeated. They took over a stadium again. Now, true, you don't.
It was insane.
You don't have to twist somebody's arm to go to Miami, right? In what would be, Philadelphia, December, you don't have to twist somebody's arm to go to Miami. I think I'm pretty accurate.
Yeah, I said this morning probably 65 to 70% Eagles fans.
So after the game, not only are they're great for taking over another stadium. After the game, after the Eagles lost, Eagle fans right away took to the internet.
Of course.
The old interweb tray and made a petition for people to sign for the Eagles to walk home from Miami after that loss. It opened with a goal of 2,000 people to sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 7,475 people have supported this petition, and the goal is now set at 8,000.
Wow.
It's already at 7,475. Open at 2,000. That's pretty damn good.
There you go. The people have spoken.
But do all of them have to walk back? Like, they can just leave a couple of coaches and some receivers there, right? They don't need to do that.
Oh, no. Y'all need. Everybody.
Yeah, I still don't get it.
We all we got, we all we need.
Look, I know it's against the common practice of the Eagles to fire people, right? You know, send a message, that type of thing. But really, I don't see any other way that they could get around. Like, even like, forget about a PR standpoint and hot takes on the radio, or you're reading hot takes in columns, whatever it might be. If you're just thinking about the locker room, how do you tolerate the same performance from these players on again and again and again? How do you tolerate the same performance from the coaching staff again and again and again? Something needs to change. Some message needs to be said. That, you know, I we say it all the time now, and in more of a mocking tone. We all we got, we all we need. No.
We need more.
We need a lot more. Yeah. need a lot more. Howie, throughout this entire season, you've needed a lot more.
Okay, well, here's the tricky part of it then. Who does the firings?
Well, it would be Howie. Howie's
okay.
Not
going. Like, yeah, look, but the finger goes to Howie in a lot of instances. So
yeah.
I hear what you're saying, like PR-wise, whatever, player-wise, you have to do something. And I agree. The tricky thing is Howie comes out and says, look, this needs to change. We're getting rid of such and such. And the fans might have an uproar with that, saying, who the hell are you to say anything? You didn't put enough depth on this team. You didn't do anything when the positions that needed to be fulfilled were right there in front of you, and you didn't do anything. Who are you to fire anybody? Maybe it's your ass that should be fired.
Well,
I don't know how much it would help if Howie comes out and says something.
Well, we already agreed that Doug Peterson's not getting fired. We already agreed that Jim Schwartz isn't getting fired. I think you could lump Howie Roseman into that as well. Any of those three guys are not getting fired.
But there has to be something in the back of Howie's mind. Is he going to come out in the press conference and say, here's what we decided to do today?
I hope so.
I think it has to be Jeffrey Lurie.
Hey, he hasn't spoken all year. What gives you any confidence that he'll come out and speak?
I haven't seen Howie.
No, he's literally been hiding this year. Literally.
He's with Jordan Howard's shoulders.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Maybe he's meeting with a new medical staff. I don't know.
He's not going to come out and say anything. It's a lose-lose situation for him.
But no, if somebody gets...
If there's a firing, yes.
But even if Carson Walsh gets fired, their wide receivers coach,
Yeah, it's a release, press release, right?
Yeah, we've decided to relieve the duties of, you know, whatever for this, so we're good to go. I don't think the general manager comes out and says anything.
Yeah, probably not, unless it's bigger,
unless it's Mike Groh. Unless it's a coordinator, maybe. But then even maybe Doug says something. A big move, but would still be somewhat logical, I think, would be moving off of Mike Groh and promoting Deuce Daly to offensive coordinator. Because at least then you know you'd have that running game angel on the shoulder of the head coach. Like a lot of people back in the day, Trey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of people would say Brad Childress was the angel on the shoulder of Andy Reid to run the football. Mm-hmm. He would be, hey, Andy, we should run it a little bit right here. And then he was gone, and that's when you saw them start to really abandon the run. Maybe a guy like Deuce Daly becomes the guy that becomes that running angel on his shoulder saying, hey, Doug, need to run the football here. And by the way, I do trust a guy with about 20 years of NFL experience over a guy with about 6 years of NFL experience, meaning mm-hmm. I trust Deuce Daly more so than I trust Mike Groh. Maybe Deuce would listen to, maybe Doug Peterson would listen to Deuce a little bit more if he was the offensive coordinator.
Maybe.
He had the opportunity to give him that role, but he didn't do it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't get it a little bit. Bruno, Mount Airy, what's on your mind, buddy?
Man, listen. Good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
I mean, I'll start with this. How do you say we've been prepared for trick plays, and we know this team comes with trick plays, and you get hit in the mouth with a trick play 3 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
How?
That was a really bad time for Doug to make that comment.
And then, you know, not only that, you know, you got the defense sprinting 40 yards, a game ago, to go strike a pose. Yo, stop doing that. You don't deserve to strike no pose. Like, we suck right now, man.
Worse than the Dolphins.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, and Mike Groh, like, yo, I mean, y'all, a caller earlier stated, you guys hit on a lot of it, and you did. Mike Groh got to go. Deuce, offensive coordinator. I mean, he deserves it, and plus, I mean, he's been in the game.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, no, Bruno, we're all with you there. I mean, no one's getting in your way as far as that goes. But here's the other thing. Doug Peterson saying that the Dolphins were better than a 2-9 football team, and now obviously they're 3-9. Does that mean that the Eagles are far worse than a 5-7 football team?
Yeah, how about that? Go figure.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the guy's going to point in our faces, and he's laughing after that trick play. Dude, I was late.
Yeah. No, you and everybody else, Bruno. Thanks for the call, man. And anybody went down there, at least you got to enjoy the weather.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand. Jamie, you were down there, and yeah. Anthony and you guys took a big group of people down there.
Yeah.
Trey, you were supposed to go, but Mrs. called an audible.
Yeah.
You went to New York and
stuff? Kill.
Broadway.
Is it snowing up there?
No, it was just cold.
How was Stomp? Did you like it?
A Stomp. It was amazing. It was cool. It was exhilarating.
I got another Ryan Fitzpatrick fun fact for you.
Why do you do this?
Yeah, really.
Would you like this? He has 7 children.
What?
He has 7 children.
One for every touchdown he's thrown against the Eagles.
Well, yes, there's that. All 7 children born in different cities.
Huh.
That's courtesy of our buddy Gabe Bassine.
Imagine talking to your 6 other brothers and sisters, being like, where are you from? That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Trying to think. I moved around a lot as a kid. Nope, my brother and I both born in Ambler. Good times.
It's hilarious.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. This is the man I need to hear from right now. Make me feel a little bit better.
Ah.
Our man, Sarasota Vic. What's up, Sarasota Vic?
Hello, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I'm ready to slip my wrist.
No, dude. Come on.
Listen, it's just terrible. They should fire almost half of the coaching staff. And Doug Peterson, I don't know where his head is, but he should be put on a short leash and given him by Jeffrey Lurie an ultimatum. Say, listen, you lose one more game out of the next 4 at the end of the season, look for a new job, because this guy is ill prepared.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.